So hey guys, what's up? I have Kishan with me today. So Kishan is the CEO of UXCAM. UXCAM helps companies truly understand how its user experience their product, enabling companies to build products with empathy. So hey Kishan, welcome to the podcast.
Hey Sunil, thanks for having me today.
Awesome. So Kishan, let's start with understanding like what is user onboarding first.
Sure. So thanks again for having me and super excited to talk about user onboarding today. User onboarding is a continuous process of getting your user to the aha moment of your product. So what that means is that what's an aha moment is basically actually getting the users to a stage where they can find value with your product quickly. And it's a continuous process where you're really helping your customers or your users to understand how your product works, where they're getting value each time of the usage of the product. Yeah.
And what does a typical user onboarding funnel looks like? Like, what are the stages in the onboarding funnel?
Sure. Yeah. So as we mentioned, as we briefly said, right? So getting users to the aha moment. So there is a lot about educating the user on how the product works, and the typical onboarding funnel in terms of how we educate the user could be done in a few different ways. So typically, it's generally done in three different ways. It's either benefit-oriented, so where you're really talking to the users and enabling and showing the benefits of your product. So this is one. The second one is mostly you are showing the functionality of the product itself. So this is called the functional-oriented onboarding. And the third one is progressive-oriented. So benefit-oriented, functional-oriented, or progressive-oriented. So three types of onboarding funnel. And on the progressive-oriented, you're really kind of showing the value of your product instead of showing it completely in one go, you're showing it to them in multiple different stages. So in terms of really building out the funnel, it really depends on the company itself. So what you're offering that defines how you are building this funnel. So for example, if the way one would start is you would map out the customer journey and really see what are the different touch points where you can either provide the benefits or the functionality or show the functionality of your product. So in case of a social network, for example, this could be where the customer comes into the page, signs up. So this would be one first part of the funnel. The second would be the welcome screen. The third would be connecting with their colleagues, etc. The fourth would be messaging. So in these various steps, how do you provide different, how do you enable the customer to understand the various aha moment of your product? So this is how you would typically build an onboarding funnel.
Totally. I first read about the aha moment in Sean Ellis's book, Hacking Growth. And when I read about it, it makes more sense, obviously, when a new user is signing up on a product. So you should guide them exactly on the path where, for example, path to conversion, something like that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, exactly right. Yeah. So every time a user is kind of coming to a product, I mean, they don't really know. It's the first time they're interacting with something, and it's hard. It's kind of you know, you're moving to a new country and you don't really know how to kind of do it. And it's the aha moment, the way I see it, is for the company to really enable them to show how to use the product and kind of make the transition super easy for them.
Totally. And so you just mentioned like there are three steps or three ways onboarding funnel can look like, which is like first is benefits oriented, second is functional oriented, and third is progressive oriented. So can you give like one example for each of these three things?
Yes. Yeah, so in terms of when you are showing the benefit, so let's start with the first one, the benefit oriented. So at this point, when you are signing up for a certain app or certain product, instead of actually showing what the product feature does, you're really showing what's the benefit that you would be able to get out of the product. So take, for example, Evernote. So Evernote, for example, we would, in this app, when you sign up for the product, you would basically see a screen where it actually says you can really organize your life better in a way. I mean, obviously they say it in a different way, but kind of like you, rather than talking about where you can create to-do lists or memos, etc., it really talks more about organizing your day-to-day life. So the first interactions are really geared towards what's the benefit that you would get out of the product when you use it. So this would be an example of benefit-oriented onboarding. Let's see. I'm trying to think about the function-oriented onboarding
right now. Okay. No, take your time.
So, in terms of the function-oriented onboarding, if we look at some of the checklists app, for example, when you sign up for the product, they literally kind of show you on how to use certain functionality. So when you log into the app for the first time, it basically highlights one of the part of the app, which is basically the plus sign, and really tells you like, hey, if you click on this, you can create a new checklist. And this is really kind of, instead of talking about more on the benefit, it's showing you the exact functionality of the app. So this would be an example of a functional oriented onboarding.
Totally. So just like showing like a walkthrough to a new user who has signed up and to do XYZ things in your product.
Exactly. Yeah. And finally, the progressive onboarding is it's really about rather than showing all the features in a go, you're really breaking it down into multiple parts. And as customer progresses through your app, you're really onboarding them a step at a time. So that would be an example of progressive onboarding.
Okay, cool. And what are some of the best practices that a SaaS business should follow while making an onboarding funnel? Like, are there any benchmarks or are there any, like, just like, what are the best practices?
Yeah. Definitely, we can let's talk about a few of the best practices. I think the main thing is, although that first of all, we should really experiment as well. And one of the best practices may work for a certain company, it may not work for others. So it's definitely a lot of experimentation required. But there are a few things that I think just generally applicable for most of the companies. So to start off with, first of all, I would say One of the best practices that I really encourage companies to try out is removing the barriers to try the product. So what that means is when you sign up for a product, when you first download an app, for example, or when you first come to a website, is the asking yourself the question like whether the sign up process is actually necessary for me, for my customers to try out the product or not, whether as soon as I launch the app, whether I should ask for a permission for the camera, for example. So really being able to kind of removing this barrier where somebody who signs up for the product, they can literally start use it, start trying it out, and removing this barrier as much as possible. So this would be the first one, I would say. What do you think?
I mean, I accept that, but currently, you know, what's happening in the world is, for example, when you sign up, when you download an app and your iOS device, and it wants to access your camera. So there's this small pop-up which shows that, you know, you want to allow this app to use your camera or not. So I think it gives a user a choice to maybe allow or maybe, you know, not allow the app to access the camera. But for some users, it's an annoying thing. But for some, it's really like a privacy thing that they don't want an app to use their camera on something. So majorly, it's a privacy issue. Other than that, if you remove the privacy part, then obviously it's going to improve the user.
Yeah. But I think the key question is like whether it's absolutely necessary, right? Or as well, like right when you launch the app. I mean, this is something. So, for example, the Evernote app. They don't ask for the camera permission until you actually want to kind of take a snapshot of something of a page, or if you want to take a photo or something. So they really move this hurdle towards the super end, towards when you actually need it, instead of actually asking it right away in the beginning.
Totally. Being contextual, I think, helps in improving user experience.
Definitely. Yeah. And I was going to just add the example of Quora as well, right? So when you sign up for Quora, they really, well, instead of kind of sign up for it, you really get to browse it, and once you kind of browse it a bit for few articles, that's when the sign up process comes in. So you still get to they remove the barrier of trying the product, and you still get to experience the product first before asking any commitment from the user. So I was going to add this example that
Yeah, awesome. So that brings me to my last question. Like, in your experience, which SaaS provided you the best onboarding?
Yeah. The three favorite ones I would say is Basecamp, MailChimp, Duolingo. Right now I'm using Duolingo a lot because I recently moved to Germany and I'm learning the new language. And I really love their onboarding experience.
Awesome.
I mean, for Duolingo, I really, really like is, comes back to the point we're talking about, like, in order to try the app, there is no sign up necessary. And they really design it where it's really minimal, and it kind of shows you the progress as well and where you are. And I really love the notification on how they send the notifications as well. So it's, they ask you, for example, when you're signing up, they ask you how long do you want to spend whether you want to be advanced or whether you want to, how long can you spend per day? And based on that, they send you a notification, and also it's done in a really good way where they connect multiple platform, like even if you sign up from your web and from your mobile, they connect all the different platforms quite well.
Right, yeah. So I have also signed up for Duolingo long back, and they have had this practice since long, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one other SaaS for which I like their onboarding experience is HubSpot. So it's like a very, it's like a complex tool, but for them, they have very simplified their onboarding process. Like when you sign up and enter all the details, so they have something like an onboarding page, and where you have to do these 10 tasks first to set up your CRMs and something like that. And then in those tasks, they have tutorials, they have some link to articles, and they have some like just like walkthroughs and something like that. So it helps user onboard on WhatsApp, HubSpot.
Right.
Very fast.
Yeah. No, totally. And the task list, it's interesting. The task list are actually makes you kind of, so for example, Quora also does something similar where when you sign up, two or three of the checklist is already marked as done. And then there's like five that's left, and you almost tend to, I want to complete this, right? So it's a really interesting tactic as well, really.
Awesome. So that's it. So thanks for your time, Kishan. If any one of you wants to get in touch with Kishan, so I'll add his LinkedIn URL in the description below, and you can check out his website UXCAM, which is uxcam.com.
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Sunil. It was a pleasure speaking.